Would you welcome our family pastor today, Pastor Brian Kitchens? Come and teach the word.
Amen. Amen, church. How's everybody doing today? Can you hear me okay? I will tell you that since the last time I spoke, I still don't have my iPad fixed, so I've got my paper notes. So it's what happens when you have a kid that constantly types in the wrong password and locks it out, and then you forget what the password was. So Melissa, for Christmas, I'm in need of a new iPad. So the next time that I come and speak, I won't have my 1980s notes. So anyway, I'm excited to be here today with you guys. Yes, 3 or so years back now in the house working alongside everybody. It's just, this is home. Every time, even if I just come over through the week, you know, just to check a mailbox or just stop by and drop something off, it just is home. So always love the opportunity to come and bring a word to you guys today. I'm excited to say that after the message, we've got a baptism today. Some good friends that live a couple towns over, friends that have just been in our life for years, really by means of softball. Ava, as a little girl playing the early years of softball, we ran across this family and this girl that just is pure sunshine. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen her. Even on a bad day, she just smiles. So we've always had a relationship. So just in the past couple weeks, you know, we're friends on Facebook, and I keep track on them, and we see them occasionally because Ava's, you know, not really doing ball right now. But, you know, still keep in touch with softball family and connections that you've made with people over the years. But I saw a couple weeks ago that she had made a decision for Christ, and on her birthday, for her birthday gift, she wanted to be baptized. And immediately I thought, oh man, go Cam, you know. And then it wasn't very long that I got the text message that said, hey, Brian, Cam wants you to baptize her. So you know, that's just a testament. This isn't the message, but that's just a testament to all of us who follow Christ. Be who you are outside of the church, because you never know the impact you're going to have on people. I've never gone to a softball game trying to be, you know, an ambassador for Jesus, or I've never gone anywhere in life, and I get it wrong a whole lot. Don't get me wrong. We've had some crazy customers at Boost, and they've had to deal with me, so I don't get it right all the time, but I try to get it right most of the time, right? So I think that's really just something that we need to do in life, is just get it right most of the time so people can see us and see Christ in us. And I'm excited because I was thinking, like, of Ava's ball team, there was one core team she was with for a long time. And of that team, I've had the pleasure of baptizing 3 team members already. So you never know the impact you're going to have on people. So just, that's just kind of the preface for the message today, but yeah, I'm excited about baptizing Cam. What an amazing thing, Cam, to want to be baptized for your birthday. So that's an awesome thing. Can we just go to the Lord in prayer real quick before we get started? Dear Jesus, Father, we love you today. I am so thankful for you, God, and I'm thankful for this place. I'm thankful for the worship, God. I just pray you go before me. You go before this message today, God. Give everyone ears to hear from you. God, just hide me in the shadow of your wing, God. Let everything that's said today just point to you today, Jesus. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So all November long, we've been in a series called House of Miracles, right? So today I kind of want to talk to you about, I'm going to continue that series and talk to you a little bit about one of the miracles that we all love and know. It's one of the most popular things, but I'm going to put a twist on it today. It's not quite, you guys ever read those storybooks where it's like from the perspective of someone else? It's not quite the same story. So I'm going to try to do that a little bit today. So hopefully you guys hear my heart. So I've been in church all my life, right? I am knocking on 40's door. My days in my 30s is dwindling at this point. So, but all 40 years, I've had the privilege and the honor of being in church, like, from the beginning. And we started out all the way up through, I was, you know, close to a teenager, at a small Baptist church in Conyers. Don't sleep on the word Baptist, because it was a, like, fiery, like, Holy Ghost-filled Baptist church. And I know that that sounds a little funny, but from a early age, I saw things that that happened in church that could only be explained by God did this. You know, I remember being little and just seeing people healed in service, and just, so it's never, in all of my life, I've never looked at miracles as one of those things where it happens occasionally or it's only reserved for a few. Miracles have been a part of my life my whole life. My whole life. It's not one of those, oh, it just happened. It's not a lottery type ticket thing that, you know, I got the lucky ticket and I got healed. Miracles have always been around us. Whether we tap into knowing that or not, it's always been something that, you know, has been a part of my life. And I remember very, very clearly being a young boy. And I was at a funeral of a family member. And my grandmother, she passed out at this funeral. And so we're all freaked out. Oh, Granny passed out. So we get her up. You know, and I'm young, so I'm just observing. We get her up, and she goes over, and she sits in a chair, and she's just holding her head, like, oh, my head, my head. So we knew she had a headache. So my mom has always, like, championed the faith. So she comes to me and says, Brian, we're going to go pray for Granny. I need you to come over here and lay hands on her and pray and believe that she's going to be well. So I said, okay, where's oil? So we go and we anoint Granny and we pray over her, and immediately her headache's gone. Immediately. It wasn't one of those things where we're like, oh, I can't believe that happened. No, we just knew, but we believed and we knew. Even as our kids were younger, Cohen was in a service one time, and when Cohen was a baby, he had a clogged tear duct. And, you know, it wasn't life-threatening. It wasn't that big of an issue. He just always had a tear in his eye. He always looked like he was either going to start crying or he had just finished crying. So we were in a church service, and it was, you know, pretty powerful worship. And the pastor just said, okay, you know, who needs healing? So we walk Cohen up to the front. We lay hands on him. We pray over him. We anoint his little eye. And, you know, we leave it and forget it. And the next day, we are actually at the aquarium. The aquarium had just opened in Atlanta. So we're at the aquarium, and I just happened to look down at Cohen in his stroller, and I just realized his eye's not leaky. So, you know, God healed Cohen. And even in this very room right now, about 12, 13 years ago, we were in another service, a healing service, and Ava was just this beautiful little baby, but she threw up and she had acid reflux, and we had her on this medicine, and oh, it was gross. And you know, the guest speaker that day said, I just really feel like the Lord wants to heal people of acid reflux today. I just feel called to say, if you have acid reflux, come forward. I want to pray for you. So we said, oh, Ava's got acid reflux. So we brought her up to the front. We never gave her another bit of medicine, ever. And she's never had acid reflux this day. So, yeah, praise God. Praise God. Miracles are just part of our life. It's not like you get one a lifetime, right? Another thing, real quick, and then I'll just move forward. But for Melissa, growing up, she had this great uncle. Some of you guys, if you're in the area, you may know of his name, but Franklin Walden was Melissa's great uncle. He's gone to heaven now, but I mean, one of the most powerful men that I have ever had the honor of being around. He was a healer. He was, you know, he worked prophetically, and just Melissa growing up has just seen wild things. Like, she, with her own eyes, has seen, like, someone who came in with a limp their leg row. Like right there, she saw like inches added to legs and just crazy things. Like she's even told me this story. We were in church and someone came in that had a tumor on their face. And they went up to be prayed for and they took a cloth and just wiped the tumor right off the person's face. Just gone. So God does miracles, and this is a house of miracles. We've seen him move. I don't know about you, but I've seen him move in my own life. I'm hoping that you guys have seen him move as well. And I want you guys to think real quick about like when we've ever been in revival services or tent meetings or, you know, just good prayer meetings. We have them on Tuesday nights here. And I remember before COVID, just the power would fall in this place. And we know what that feels like to be hyped up after a service, right? To just be, just almost shaky where you've just been in the weight of glory and you just know what that feels like. We all know what that feels like. I can imagine, what it was like for the disciples. Walking around, experiencing firsthand Jesus performing miracles. Can you imagine that? If we have these incredible services and how we feel, could you imagine being one of the 12 that walked with him and saw this first person? Could you imagine how hyped up you'd be, right? I'd probably almost get a little bit arrogant and be like, do you know who I'm following? Almost. And I know that's completely wrong, and I'd probably get checked, and there'd be a whole verse written about Brian and how he needed to be checked. But I can imagine that walking with Jesus just made the disciples feel a certain way. Could you imagine just firsthand seeing Jesus turn water to wine? That very first miracle? Some of you guys would be like, yeah, I wish I was there, right? Could you imagine healing lepers, people that were untouchable? Nobody wanted to even, like, we freak out about COVID, but could you imagine a leper walking towards you? Could you imagine seeing Jesus heal? Could you imagine seeing him cast out demons? I think I'd run, but could you imagine that? Or even bringing dead people to life. Could you imagine what that was like for the disciples to witness these things? Well, I want to share a text with you today that starts immediately after one of Jesus' major, major miracles and stories in the Bible. You guys, y'all know this story. It's the multitude follows Jesus, and then he has compassion on them, and he starts healing and talking to everybody. And apparently it went really long because it was evening when things were winding down, and he said, you know what, these people are hungry, and before I send them away, let's feed them. And so they're scrounging around, they're trying to figure out, you know, how are we going to feed them, and then, they're putting money together and trying to figure it out, but then there's this boy that's got this lunch pail, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. You guys know the story, right? And the disciples see this. They physically see the bread just not getting smaller, and you know, the fish, they're not going away, and they fed thousands. So I can imagine after a day of just healings and just these insights from Christ and then wrapping up with this amazing miracle that just happened, I can imagine it probably felt even better than when we've witnessed something and when we've left a really good service where your faith is just maxed out. I want to start today, right after that happens, in Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side. While he sent the multitude away, and then when he had sent the multitude away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. So all these cool things happen, and then Jesus says, okay, this is the plan. You guys go. I'm going to catch you later. I'll meet you on the other side. So I want to stop right there before we keep going. They just witnessed something incredible. There's no natural explanation by, you know, what they saw. And could you imagine their faith? and how built up it would have been. Like, Jesus is the man, right? I can imagine they were like, all right, we're going to get in this boat. We're going to just sail on a cross. We're going to get some sleep. And we're going to do it all again tomorrow. So then Jesus says, go get in the boat. Head to the other side. Yep, I'm going to get in that boat. I'm going to have a good time. We're going to just chill. We're going to party. We're going to have a good time until we get to the other side. I would have been thinking, you know, I'm going to take me a nice nap. That's not how it went. So let's continue with the text. Verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking, they were troubled, and they said, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. So here's what we don't like as Christians. Even with maxed out faith, say we've left an incredible service. Jesus just healed our kid. We just saw something. Maybe we just made a decision that I want him to be my Savior. So, you know, we're maxed out faith, and we feel like we get a word from the Lord that says, go. I need you to do this. Go here. Go do this. And we start going. It doesn't take very long for our faith to dwindle, right? Doesn't take long at all. We hit those first couple waves, that wind starts picking up, and we start getting fearful. God still told us to go, but we're starting to think, where is God at right now? Right? That's just like us. It doesn't take long for our faith to fly right out of the boat. Where'd all that hype go? Things took a quick turn. So all of you know, because I talk about it, I reference it a good bit, but all of you guys know that earlier this year in January, Melissa and I started a new business, right? I've kind of, you know, talked about it over the past couple years, and so I kind of want to talk to you guys a little bit about that. But we set out about 2 years ago, we made a decision, and we asked God, hey, this is what we want to do. If this is your will for our life, you open the doors. Of course, we sought, because the Lord wants us to seek, right? We would seek, but then we were always under the impression and just said, God, this is a really big undertaking. This is kind of one of those all chips in type of deals. So we want to be sure that it's your will for us. So you open the doors when it's right, if it's right. So over the course of 2 years, we worked, and God started opening doors. God put the right people in our path. He just made it really an easy process for us to just open this brand new business. And there was never a time that I thought that God put the brakes on anything, that this wasn't where we were supposed to go. Not a single time. So we opened our new business, and I want to make sure you understand that, like, this is a all-in type of thing where we're either going to do really well and sit our final years on the beach just looking at each other and smiling, or we are going to be working till we die. Like 99 years old in a factory, like working. Right? It's one of those things. It's that big of a deal. But God always opened the doors for us, and we opened our new business in January. And immediately, we started seeing God's blessings. And we knew, God, look at you, God. We are so excited about what you're doing in our life. I was already making plans about where we'd be, like right now, this Sunday. Side note, I was supposed to be in Hawaii right now, but we were making just these grand plans of ministry and how we would just piggyback off that business of how can we use it for God. Like, I was already planning on taking people on mission trips and just cool things that we were going to do. So, you know, January came and we opened, and we were open for about 6 months, and then our boat sailed into a storm called Corona. Right? I think we all have stories like that. We all were in a boat headed somewhere, and then we sailed into the, we all sailed into the same storm. How did that happen? So we sail into the storm about mid-March. We'd been open about six weeks. And then, bam, closed. Over 3 months closed. Not a single guest in our brand new business that we put our life on the line for. But isn't that just like us, though, right? It doesn't take long for the miracle or for the direction, the feeling that I'm doing what you told me to do, God. It doesn't take long for that to wear off when you hit a rough patch. So today's message is titled, Meet Me in the Middle. And I know about half of y'all just started singing that song. Baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle? Because I did when I came up with the title, right? So for real, I want to take this story today in the Bible, and I want to flip it a little bit, because we all know what happens in the story, right? They get into this storm, and Jesus comes out later, and he's walking on water, and they see him, and oh, it's a ghost, and he says, ah, it's me. Chill out, it's me. And then Peter says, hey, let me come walk with you. So, Peter gets out of the boat, and he starts getting fearful, and he falls into the water, and he gets wet, and he gets to walk back to the boat with Jesus. We all know this story. It's a foundational story that we all know and we learn as a kid. But I want to take it and I want to flip it, and so that we can use it a little bit today. I want us to focus on the perspective of the disciples and how quick they declined in their faith. We all know what it feels like when the Lord speaks to us and he gives us directions. There's been many times in my life where, I felt the nudging of the Lord. Sometimes it's a nudge. Sometimes it's more like a, sometimes it's a whisper. Sometimes it's very loud. Even coming back here a couple years ago, very clearly the Lord said, I've called you there. Go be there. So, we all know what it feels like to hear a word from the Lord. Whether it's, direction for our life or, go do this, go do that. We all know what that feels like. And just like the disciples, we know what it feels like to be full of faith. And the Lord say, go and do this or go that way. And it usually comes with some preset expectations on our parts, right? Like we know what we want the journey to look like or what we think it's going to look like. But when the journey comes, it usually never goes the way you think it's going to go, right? I've lived enough life to know that, like with everything, even, the Lord saying, I want you to marry Melissa. Okay, Melissa, he told me to marry you. It didn't go quite the way that I thought it was going to go at first. So that's probably part of the problem. The disciples got into the boat and they were like, okay, this is how this journey is going to be. They had some preset expectations, and it just never, life don't go that way. It's not our will. It doesn't go the way we want it to go. And honestly, if I let it, my flesh can just have a hard time reconciling where I thought I'd be at the end of this year versus where I actually am. I had all these expectations about what my trip across the sea would look like. And let me tell you, this ain't it, boo. I thought it was going to be another way. But we all could say that, right? Our jobs, our health, we thought it'd be one thing and it's something else. This past week, I've had a cousin, very young. I'm sure she thought Thanksgiving and Christmas and all this time of year in her life, she's 35 years old. I bet she thought things were going to look a lot different than they do. In the past 7 days, she was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. She's had surgery already. It ended up being much better report than what she had originally gotten. So we're we're thankful and we're praising Jesus for that. But the trip across the sea doesn't go quite the way we thought it would go all the time. I thought I'd be married by now. I thought that that would be my spouse. You know, it's we all have stories. We all have a trip across the sea story where God's told us to do something and it turns out looking a little bit different. When you get a word, a promise, some direction from the Lord and it really hasn't quite turned out the way you thought that it would. So what do we do here in the middle of the sea and the storm with the wind and the waves? There's a couple reminders I want to share with you today that we pull from this story. Got 4 points for you today. It's going to be in and out, okay? So let's go to Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 47. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. So the first point today, while you're out in the middle of the sea being tossed about, is he sees you. He sees you. The Bible says he saw them. Jesus saw them before they saw him. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very help in trouble. Even when our eyes are focused on what's going on around us, he sees us. He sees us. I'd like to, just because I've got a kind of a weird sense of humor, I'd like to think that the Lord is, you know, he's out walking. He's on his way to go meet them on the other side, and he sees and hears this commotion. Like, what's going on over there? What are they doing? You know, I could see like Peter fussing at Matthew for rowing the wrong way, and James like sitting over on one side of the boat and he's having a panic attack because the boat's rocking, and then like somebody's leaning over the side of the boat and they're throwing up, they're seasick, and I could just see God walking up on this commotion and be like, what are you doing? What are you doing? So even when our journey feels like a storm, Jesus sees us, even when we don't see him. In your situation, whatever it is you're going through today, you may feel so far from God right now, but I want to assure you that he sees you. He sees you where you're at. So we just got to stop the freak out. We got to remember that he's near. So the next time, or even if you're in a storm right now, next time you walk up on something and it starts getting crazy, I want you to be like, do you see this God? Do you see this Jesus? Like, seriously, thinking back over, you know, within the last 10 years, we've faced my mom's cancer battle, immediately followed by my sister's cancer battle. You know, I've been in the waiting room waiting for my sister to come out of surgery, for the doctor to come in and didn't give us the news we wanted. Sorry, the cancer spread further than we thought. She is going to need chemo. She possibly is going to need radiation at 35. You know, we've gone through these situations, and through it all, like immediate storm swirling around us, immediately, I sensed God, sensed his presence the entire time. I knew the road we had to go. It's not a road I wanted to walk. It's not a road I wanted for them, but I knew who would be with us the whole time. Even just in the last 12 months or so, you know, Melissa's dad battled kidney cancer. But through it all, I mean, bad things are going to happen to us, guys. That's life, right? It rains on the just and the unjust. But bad things are going to happen. But even with that diagnosis, yes, there's concern. Yes, there's caution. And we want to make sure that we're attacking things the right way. But there's always a sense of peace. Always peace. We always just have to have faith that he is near, even when we can't see or feel him. So point two today, starting in Matthew 14:26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. So point two today to you is, don't worry. Don't worry. Fear is a hijacker. It's one of the enemy's most powerful weapons that he uses against us. Worry, anxiety, it's all rooted in fear, right? They're all designed by the enemy to overwhelm us, to blanket us with like a thick fog, controlling every thought that we have, every move we make, every decision we make. Fear is just terrible. Fear is the enemy of faith. They're on polar opposites. Fear, faith. When we find ourselves in the middle and the waves begin to pick up, fear is the first thing that attacks us, right? It's designed to take our eyes off our path, of what's in front of us. The disciples were more focused on the winds and the waves around them than they were the path. With Boost, it was easy to let ourselves get distracted by the storm, right? Oh gosh, how are we going to pay for our rent? How am I going to pay 50 employees? I got single moms that work for me. How am I going to make that right for them? There's so many areas where fear could have just dictated and just destroyed and taken over us. Thoughts of, you're going to lose everything. All around us it looked bad, right? Fear could have easily creeped in and caused anxiety and doubt. But I'm here to tell you today, it didn't. I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to lie and say fear didn't try to attack us. Because it always will try. But you just got to know, no, I don't accept fear. I accept faith. Because what I walked out saying is, no, I don't got this wrong. I know that God opened these doors. I know He did this for us. So if He did this for us, He's going to get us through this. I'm not going to give in to fear. I'm not going to have a freak out and let it ruin our family and me being in a bad mood every day. And no. Fear, you got to flee. Fear, you got to go. Maybe that's you today. Maybe the Lord's gave you a promise. He gave you some direction. But since then, it's been a little tough. It's been some stormy weather, and now you're full of fear and you're full of anxiety and you almost feel like you can't make it through the day. I'm here today to tell you that fear and anxiety has to flee in the name of Jesus. Amen? I was never fearful about Boost. God worked it all out. God worked it all out. So don't have fear in your boat on your way to the other side. Don't give in to fear. Point three. So if point two is don't worry, y'all know what point three is, right? Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. We can thank Bobby McFerrin for that. I was listening to that song this morning a little bit. But Mark chapter 6 verse 50 says, "For they all saw him and were troubled, but immediately he talked to them and said to them, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.'" So here they are. They're in the boat. They see Jesus. Oh, it's a ghost. It's not a ghost. It's Jesus. He goes up to them and he says, "Why are you troubled? Be of good cheer." And I just want to point out, when he says that, the storm hadn't changed at that point. Be of good cheer. Why is it so hard for us to keep our attitude in check when things get tough? Y'all, listen, I'm talking to myself right now, but y'all can just go along for the ride. But it's so easy to keep a right spirit when things are going the way we plan them. When things are going well for us, it's easy to be in a good mood. But when the tough times come, it's a different story. Jesus sees the boat, he hears the commotion, and in Mark, backing up one verse, in Mark 48, he says, "And he saw them strained at rowing, for the wind was against them, and he would have passed them." I don't want to take credit for this because I saw my friend post this week, but I never really paid attention to that. I just thought he was automatically going to them. The scripture says he would have passed them by. He would have passed them by. It's like, you know, this is kind of how I interpret that. It's like on the shore before they left, he said, okay, go do this. I'll meet you on the other side. So he fully expected them to make it on their own through their own faith. Be full of faith through the storm. Figure out, get through it. Don't stop and be dragged down and bogged down by your fear. I'm going to meet you on the other side. So as he's going, he sees and hears, then he has to go over and fix it. Because it says he would have passed them by. So our situation would immediately improve if we would just trust God through the hard things and change our attitude. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Right now, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I've learned to be content and full of joy regardless of the conditions around. Joy isn't happy. Happy's fleeting. Joy is rooted. It's deep down. And it lasts you. It's like a camel with water. They store it up. We store up joy to make it through the hard times. If you just have happy, well, baby, that's going to be gone tomorrow. I've had so many people come up to me since quarantine and say, Brian, how are you doing with Boost? Are you okay? Just solemn, like somebody died. And I know it's just really out of concern for us because they love us, right? I know that's where it's coming from, but I have to check them every time. Like, Boost is good. Boost is good. It's fine. God's faithful. You know, I don't understand 2020. I don't think any of us do. But I know enough to know that if God opened that door for us, he's going to be faithful. And if I'm disappointed right now, that's because I put expectations on something, not God. Right? If I'm worried about anything right now, it's because I thought it was going to be a certain way. God didn't tell me how it was going to be. He just gave it to me. I assumed certain things about the journey. That's on me. So all of us in our situations, we need to check our attitudes. We need to get a bucket. We need to start dipping water out. We got to do whatever we got to do to get on to the other side. But we just got to go because he said go. Right? We have to keep our eyes set. We have to know that Jesus is near. We got to find some cheer in the process. So finally, point four. Point four kind of goes with point one. I was trying to be a little clever here. So point four, you seek him. So one is he sees you. Number four is you seek him. And right in the middle, we got a fun song. Right? John 6:21 says, then they willingly received him into the boat. And immediately the boat was on land where they were going. They willingly received him in. That's when things changed. Lamentations 3:22 through 23 says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. These guys in the middle of this storm had just been part of an incredible miracle hours ago. And they were on their way to even more, but right now they need new miracles. They need a refreshed spirit. They need their faith renewed. When they had just been with Jesus seeing these incredible miracles. I'm trying not to cough in this. Here they are in the middle, scrambling with their faith in between. I don't know what your situation looks like or what your middle of the sea looks like today. We go through trials. There's going to be mountains in our past. We either got to cross them or God's going to move them. One of the two, right? But I want you to know that when we willingly receive him, he brings peace to the storm. He gives strength to keep pressing ahead. Now, I just a day or so ago, I was talking with a pastor friend, and we were catching up, and of course, he asked me, what's going on at Boost? And so, we had that conversation, and, he and his church had been planning some big major moves in 2020, and, 2020, right? 2020, it stopped them. So we were just talking about kind of how how my sermon was shaping up, and we were talking about it, and we really just came to the conclusion that we were created with a need to daily seek His presence. Every day. Yesterday may have been amazing with major moves of God, but it's a new day, new challenges. I can't rest today in yesterday's victories. I got to keep pressing ahead, and key is that I daily seek His presence when I willingly receive Him every day. Daily, His presence for peace, for direction, for reassurance. It makes all the difference. Psalm 23, you guys know this one, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort me. We just have to know. It's a simple message, really. Is whatever you're going through today, every one of us has a different story. There's, 100 folks here. I'm not even sure how many people are online, but everybody's got a different story about what their middle of the sea experience is. But whatever it is, these things apply. Let's not be fearful. Let's remember that He's there. Let's have peace. Let's invite Him daily. Joshua 1 and 9 says, "For I have commanded you, be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened, don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Amen? Wherever you go. Zephaniah 3 and 17 says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will exude over you with loud singing." As I close today, I've witnessed a miracle this year. I've witnessed other trampoline parks around me close. By the time they were open, they were able to open back up, just thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt that they couldn't pay back. I've watched them close. But God's been faithful. God's been faithful to me. It's because He told me to go. He gave us a path and said, "Hey, this is what I want for your life. This is what you're going to do." We found ourselves in the middle of a storm. We had the options to freak out, scream, get seasick, or we had the option to trust and to know that if He said go, He's going to send us. He's going to get us there. So I don't know how long, things are going to be, but I know Boost is okay. I can already see this. We're green every month. The Lord is sending people in. Our staff's always been taken care of. Not a single member of my 50-person team lost a paycheck. Not a single one. We've had to readjust our expectations, of course. But God has been faithful through it all. God's faithful in this house. I even look at pre-pandemic, we had a revival weekend here. And I remember one of the services. It was an evening service, and it felt like one of those services I was telling you guys about earlier. Just where the power of God falls, and just people were coming, and it just felt like, oh gosh, we're on the cusp, we're on the verge of where I know you're taking us. And then 2020, right? But I know God's plan for this house. I know God's plan for these people. I know God's plan for this pastor. We may be in the middle of some wind and some rain and some waves, but we're doing the right things. We're going to the other side. There's going to be miracles over there as well. You know, I can imagine. I say all these things. We got through this year, and I don't want you guys to think that like Brian's stressed out. And like, no, God has supernaturally moved in our lives this year. I got a promotion at work. I'm doing better there than I've ever done before. I've been with the same company 21 years. You know, God's just blessing me there. God, like, who gets a promotion in the pandemic? God's blessed us, and I'm not worried about Boost at all. I haven't worried about it. God's got it. But I can see how someone that doesn't know Jesus, who doesn't know these truths that I know, who isn't like, God's my rock. When I need shelter, I run under his wing. I can imagine what it's like for people in their lives who don't have that. I understand why people are on medication. I understand why people turn to the bottle. I understand when people don't know how to cope. I understand that. But guys, we have a refuge. We have a refuge in the middle of the storm. We have peace. So today, we're going to baptize in just a second, but right now, I don't know what's going on in your life. I can assure you 2020 has probably been your toughest year yet. And I just want to say to you, if you turn to Jesus, or if you just maybe today you just needed a reminder that he's there. And he's faithful to meet us in the middle of the storm. He's there. We don't have to be afraid. We can change our attitude and just our outlook. Our outlook just doesn't change what's going on around us, but it definitely changes things for us. And when we actively seek his presence every single day, it makes a difference. Maybe there's somebody here that just needs a moment in the altar. If that's you today, our altars are always open. But I'd like to invite you, if you just need some peace, if you just need a little bit of peace today, I want to invite you today. Let's pray. God, I thank you that in the middle of life's storms, God, that you are here, that you are ever present, that you are watching, and you're there, God. I thank you, God, that you bring peace. God, I pray right now that you cast out all fear. If someone is just riddled with fear right now and anxiety, God, I just pray you just fill and replace that with love right now. Perfect love cast out all fear. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power. And you've given us a sound mind, God. So we replace fear with a sound mind, knowing, God, that you have us today, Jesus. Lord, we love you and we thank you today. I give you praise and glory, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.